Here's a healthcare story now about the lack of insurance still in America. 4 in 10 uninsured Americans are now living in the suburbs, and that's largely because the suburbs have become a locus of poverty in this country. That's according to a new study from the Harvard School of Public Health. Alina Schnockimal co-authored the recent study. She's a doctoral candidate at the Harvard School of Public Health. Alina, thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
What's going on in the suburbs?
So we've really seen that beginning in the 1980s, but then really markedly increasing in about 2000, there's been this massive rise in suburban poverty. So much so that we now have more low-income people living in suburbs than in urban places. 16.9 million poor people living in the suburbs. And that really goes against our sort of perceptions and ideas of what the suburbs are and what the suburbs look like.
Right. That cuts against the idea of course, the image of the inner cities, the home of poverty, maybe not so much anymore. Certainly rural areas in the suburbs were always the place where people fled either of these places to have white picket fences and lawns and upper middle class incomes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that there's this change, and there's been a couple reasons for the change, and four kind of intersecting reasons that may differ a bit by geography. So those reasons are really gentrification, moving of higher income people back into cities, and the subsequent kind of lockout or push out of low income populations into suburbs. The second is just direct immigration to the suburbs, and that might be partially because cities are no longer affordable to live in for low income populations. The third is really sort of economic restructuring post recession and during the recession, that the jobs in suburbs really haven't recovered. And then there's also the foreclosure crisis, which hit the suburbs really hard. And then last is sort of an increase in affordable housing in the suburbs. That's both sort of the housing stock post-World War II that's degraded, but also really kind of an intentional push in housing policy to increase housing and affordable housing in suburbs. And this idea you just got to, that sort of the suburbs are synonymous with opportunity.
Well, let's talk about uninsurance, which is sort of this ride-along issue with poverty. Look, if you're very poor in America, you have access to Medicaid. Uninsurance lives in this zone between abject poverty and having enough to be able to afford insurance or having a job that provides it. And the suburbs are supposed to be the place that has the access, right? There's lots of doctor's offices. There's lots of hospitals. It's not the place where you have to drive 50 miles to see a specialist, right? That's a county in Montana, not the suburbs outside of Washington, D.C. So what's going on?
So, yeah, I think that there's this idea that there are a lot of opportunities and access areas, but the challenge is that those may be only for higher income individuals. There are other studies that have kind of done research to try and understand what are some of the barriers, the specific barriers to care in suburban areas. And those are things like physicians that are less likely to take Medicaid or uninsured patients, fewer safety net hospitals, community health centers that play a really critical role in providing primary care to low and income and uninsured people. There just aren't as many of them in suburbs. And then you've got this issue of transportation, sprawl. And without public transportation, it makes it more difficult to get to those places.
So even if you only live 7 miles from a clinic, if you don't have a car and there's no good bus line, 7 miles is effectively 50 miles. It might as well be.
Absolutely. And what our research has shown is that impacts access to care. We found that almost 1 in 3 suburban residents that are poor, they had an unmet care need due to cost in the last year. So that's people that are just bypassing care because they can't get it in suburbs.
You talk about community health clinics, and over the last 15 years or so, there has been this federal commitment. Washington has spent a lot of money building up community health centers, certainly in cities, in some cases in rural areas. You're saying that in that middle zone, that in the suburbs, they never thought that the suburbs would be a place where you would need it.
Yeah, that seems, I mean, it's actually hard. The research hasn't been quite, it's been difficult to identify where they've exactly expanded to, but there are reports that it seems that there aren't many community health centers in suburban areas. Some areas have addressed that, but it does seem to be a bit of a challenge, and I think it's part of this larger challenge with policy of kind of not adjusting to this new geography of affluence and poverty in the United States.
Has the Affordable Care Act had an impact here?
It absolutely has. So as many other studies show, in all areas, urban, suburban, rural, there really have been improvements in access to care and insurance in all three geographies. But we did find in our study that, if anything, the suburbs had slightly less improvement in those kind of access and insurance areas.
Now, Lena, it seems to me like some of the marketing researchers and planners at some big corporations maybe have been doing some of the same research as you, or maybe have been looking at your studies. And here's why. I mean, look at this massive merger between Aetna and CVS. Aetna does healthcare. What does CVS have? They have brick and mortar healthcare in suburban communities all over America. Maybe CVS knows about this problem, and maybe they're saying, hey, we want to be the corporate community health center for low-cost, easy-access healthcare of the future. Is that where they're headed?
I think it's possible. I mean, I think that what we know so far about the merger is somewhat limited, but there is the potential for CVS to play that really interesting role of providing primary health care in suburban areas because they have those brick and mortars. But I think it'll really depend on ensuring that they have providers that are willing to accept Medicaid and uninsured patients, that there are all those sort of wraparound services that often come with community health centers that aren't just addressing sort of people's acute care needs and acute primary care needs, but also can provide those wraparound services, because in suburban areas, there's really a lack of those kind of services. There are plenty of studies that have shown sort of lack of community-based organizations in suburban areas and less social safety net sort of services overall there. So it's possible that CVS could play a role. It'll really depend on kind of their model of care.
I mean, it does seem like they're aware that there's this hole, right? I mean, if it sounds like what you're saying is that if people can go to CVS for itchy nose, scratchy throat, or a heart palpitation before they go to the hospital, that's great. But that's not really the depth of healthcare access that your study is finding is really falling short here.
Yeah, I think it's sort of saying there's a need for a robust safety net system in suburban areas. We can't just provide care in the same way and provide social services in urban areas in the way we historically have. We need to think about shifting those services to those that are most in need.
The problem of uninsurance and its partner, poverty, has migrated to the American suburbs. Alina Schnakimal, co-author of a new study from the Harvard School of Public Health, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.